ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. The Sadguru had instructed the disciple so well that he had realized who he was, and he was describing his most indescribable experiences. Previously, the same truths were heard by him many, many times from the mouth of the Guru, which were, of course, the Guru's own realizations. But here, for the first time, the disciple had experienced them himself directly, and he could not contain himself. There might come a beautiful question now, that how is it possible for the indescribable to be described? The answer to that is, it is not that really he is trying to describe, but somehow there is a power behind the words of a realized soul to convey directly, intuitively, from his own heart to the heart of the disciple. We may recollect the incident of Narendra. He went and questioned Sri Ramakrishna, "Have you seen God?" And he said, "Yes." Now, later on, describing that incident, Narendranath was telling that this was the first time, the only person whom I have heard directly, that he had seen God. Now, our point is, he says, but there is absolutely no doubt in my mind upon hearing his words that he is telling the truth. Now, that sense this person is telling the truth never arises in ordinary people. Only in extraordinary people, people of purified heart, those who are ready to understand not the superficial meaning, but the real meaning, only they can understand. True communication between the teacher and the student takes place at a far deeper level than we can ever be able to describe. And this is the one of the most important lessons Vedanta wants to teach us, that for every sentence that we utter or we hear, there could be two meanings. One is called yogika artha, ordinary meaning, surface meaning. But there is, for some sentences, there would be a deeper meaning, sometimes maybe completely different from what we can understand on the superficial level. And the Sanskrit name for that is called lakshyartha, padartha and lakshyartha, yogika artha and lakshyartha. We, in our day-to-day communication, often use it very well in both ways, often without realizing ourselves. Lakshya means what is the intended purpose. Vedanta gives several examples. I will give you a simple example. If someone whom you meet sometime during the day, and you know that person, you ask him, "Where are you going?" And he says, "I am going to that swimming club." And you understand by that, his purpose is not going to the swimming club, but to do the swimming. He did not use the word, "I am going to the swimming club just to sit and chit-chat." He did not say that. But you understand it, he is going to swim. Even if there is no swimming club, even if there is a river or a tank, that's what he means. "I am going to such and such a tank, river." That means he wants to take a swim, etc. So, this is called lakshyartha. Only those who are qualified, they understand this lakshyartha. Here, a disciple is trying to convey what is practically inconveyable, indescribable, and yet it should be described. Why? For our benefit, for people like us. So he is talking about, in our last class, we have been discussing 494th verse, Narayanoho, I am the Narayana, Narakantaka, I am the slayer, destroyer of Narakasura. Similarly, I am Shiva. Shiva is also known as Purantaka. And this word Pura is a beautiful word. Pura also means a city. So Shiva is called Tripurantaka. So each one of us are dwelling in three cities, as most of us know. What are those three cities? The gross body, subtle body, and the causal body, or in other terminology, Panchabhutas. Purushoham, I am the one who pervades this whole universe. Every living being is living because of me. It means both prana as well as the consciousness. Every living being, every being with prana is also associated with consciousness, even if it is not visible, experienceable. For example, if somebody is in deep sleep, he may not be aware of anything else, but we know that he is aware of himself at that time. Aham Ishaha, I am the Lord of myself. I am the supreme ruler of myself. This body, this mind is absolutely under my control. And there is a saying, one who is the ruler of his own body mind is the undisputed ruler of the entire universe. Akhanda Bodoham. Bodha means true, right self-knowledge. Bodha, I am that supreme knowledge which never has any interruption. I am. Very shortly, there is a beautiful poem I mentioned in my last talk, written by no other than Swamiji himself, called the Song of the Samadhi, which we are going to discuss shortly. I am that supreme knowledge, indivisible knowledge, eternal knowledge, Asesha Sakshi. I am absolutely unattached, witness of everything, not only my own body and mind, but the whole universe. Nirishwaroham, there is no one higher than me. I am the Ishvara, ruler of the whole universe. Niraham, I do not have any special individuality called I. So also, I don't own anything, means I own, everything belongs to me, everything is me. Therefore, we cannot say whatever is nothing but me. That was what we discussed in our last class. So, his description of a realized soul is continuing. Sarveshu bhuteshu ahameva samsthitaha gnatratmana antar bahirashrayasan bhoktacha bhogyancha svayameva sarvam tat yat prithak drishtam idantaya pura. Again, a most beautiful shloka. Uyamai sarveshu bhuteshu, I am the indweller. In fact, I am the being. In this whole universe, whatever you see, it is nothing but me. Ahameva samsthitaha, I alone indwell, both inside and outside. There Ramakrishna used to give a beautiful example. You immerse a pot in a huge ocean. So inside there is water, outside there is water. There is absolutely no division. But seemingly, there is inside and outside we use, but that pot is only an abhasa, an appearance, nothing but true. So I am like that. I am inside and outside. Perhaps some of you can recall when Sri Krishna was playing Rasa Leela in the Vrindavan, and the pride had entered that we had obtained Krishna. The moment that ahankara came, that ahankara hid Sri Krishna. He seemed to have disappeared, and then they realized their mistake and destroyed their that kara. And then they praised the beautiful hymns to through 17 shlokas called Gopika Gita. And our whole Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, which in Bengali is called Sri Sri Ramakrishna Kathamritam. That word Kathamritam comes only from one of those Gopika Gitas. Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jeevanam Kavibhiriditam Kalmashapaham Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinantiye Te Bhuridajanaha. So among that, there is another verse which tells us the great realization of the Gopikas by the grace of Sri Krishna. It says, Na khalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Drik. You are not the ordinary son of an ordinary milkmaid. You are the indweller in the heart of every being. Here, many times I try to remind you, indweller doesn't mean something which is inside. So the what is inside, what is outside are totally different. That is not the one. You just recollect one saying, inside the pot, there is nothing but clay. What is outside the pot? Nothing but clay. So both inside and outside, it is nothing but pure clay. That is what the person is telling to us, inside and outside. Both it is clay, inside and outside. Here clay means, don't misunderstand, as mud. Otherwise, our brains are nothing but pure mud. Here mud means, it is the existence. It is the knowledge he's going to tell us very soon about it. And it is the ananda which is there, which is the very nature of God, Atma. So he says, Sarveshu Bhuteshu Ahameva Samsthitaha. That means accepting me, nothing else exists. If a table exists, that existence of the table is because of my existence. So the whole universe exists because of my existence. How? Then what about knowledge? Chit, Gnatratmana, Gnata, Gnana, in the form of knowledge. What is the knowledge? I exist. That is the knowledge. Everything has living or non-living. You may wonder, does a table know I am a table? How do you know it doesn't have? Because it doesn't tell. Supposing you meet a person, and you are asking for one to talk that person, and he just opens his mouth, but nothing comes out of his mouth. Do you have to conclude by that this person is a dumb person, and he is a stupid person? Just because a person doesn't express, it doesn't mean that person doesn't have what we think he doesn't have. In fact, most of the time, by expressing only, we exhibit, prove our stupidity, foolishness. So there is a popular saying which I have quoted many times. If someone calls you a fool, don't open your mouth and prove it. So, Gnatra Atmana, I know. This is constantly vibrating in each one of them. And a table also is constantly broadcasting. I am a table, I am a table, I am a chair, I am a tree. That is a hidden secret which we have to understand. So that existence, that knowledge which makes us, let us know that not only I exist, I am so and so. That knowledge, they are inseparable. Existence, asti, and knowledge, bhati. Bhati means it makes us understand that I am this. So both these Gnatratmana, Antaha Bahihi Ashrayahasa. Such a beautiful phraseology Shankaracharya is using. Antaha, what is inside me? Nothing but God. Bahihi, what is outside me? It is nothing but again God only. And I am the substratum. I am the platform. I am the Ashraya. Beautiful word. Ashraya means if that something is removed from us, we do not exist. We do not live. For example, our body is made up of panchabhutas. And who is maintaining these Panchabhutas? Panchabhutas. Who is maintaining the body? Panchabhutas. Who is maintaining the mind? Panchabhutas. Who is maintaining the causal body? It is also Panchabhutas only in a most unmanifest form. So without God, nothing else exists. A simple example to make this point understand. There is a huge ocean, and this ocean, so many waves, big, small, then bubbles also are coming. What is a bubble? A small bit of water at a particular angle. What is a wave? Because of some wind, the water displaced and manifesting at a particular angle is called wave. So, whether it is a bubble, whether it is a foam, whether it is a small wave or big wave like tsunami, everything is nothing but different manifestations of pure water, aided of course by air or whatever you call it. But there is absolutely no difference between the foam, the bubble, the small wave, the tsunami and the water. In fact, if you say here is a small tumbler of water, here is a huge ocean of water. What water is water, whether it is in the tumbler or in the ocean. If you remove those two words, tumbler and ocean, what remains? Only water. This is the telling, accepting God, nothing exists. So, antaha bahi ashraya hasan, bhokta cha bhogyancha. I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyed. Swayameva sarvam, I am everything. There is nothing besides me. Aham brahmasmi sarvam kalvidam brahma. If God is everything, then who is the enjoyer? God. Who is the enjoyed? God. This beautiful idea we get expressed in a very poetical way in the 15th chapter. I, in the form of the sun and the moon, create food and supply it to the jivas. We are all made up of food. We are supported by food. And the food that we take inside is also digested by whom? By the Divine Lord only. That is what he is telling here so beautifully. What is he telling? Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashritaha pranapana samayuktaha pachamyannam chaturvidham. I manifest in everybody, either in a small way or a big way, in the form of digestive power. That's what the Lord is telling. So, I am the bhokta, enjoyer. I am the bhogyam. I am the enjoyed. Swayameva sarva. I myself have divided myself into the enjoyer, the enjoyed, the subject, the object, the experiencer, the experiencer. And again, dream is a most beautiful telling example. Suppose you dream, you go to bed and you are dreaming that somebody has brought a beautiful cake for you and you are eating that cake. In your dream, who was eating? You were eating. And what was that cake? You yourself have become the cake. So you are enjoying both the cake, you are the enjoyer and enjoyed. From the Ishvara's point of view or Virat's point of view, everything is he only dreaming in this form. Tat yat prithak drishtamidam idantaya pura. Pura means before my realization of this self-knowledge. Idantaya, how was I looking upon this whole universe? Oh, here is a body, here is a mind, here is a tree, here is another person. Tat yat prithak. This is me, everything is separate from me. Prithak, krishtam, everything. Before realization that I am everything, before that realization came that I am separate, you are separate, everything is separate from everything else, I am separate from everything in the world, I am separate from God, the world is different from God. So this triangle of differences existed. But what do I see now? I am inside and outside, I am the subject and the object, and I have become all the beings in this world. Like in your dream, You become the tree, you become the house, you become the car, you become 100 billion people in this world, in the dream world. You become the subject and different subjects. You think, I am eating, you are also eating. Who is that you are eating? That is also me. In your form you are eating. What is the idea? Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is nothing but Brahman. And Brahman is, as it were, dreaming, and that is called Srishti or creation. Now comes a most another wonderful verse. Maya khanda sukham bodhau bahuda vishravichayah utpadyante viliyante maya maruta vibhrama. I alone reside as knowledge in all beings, being their internal and external support. I myself am the experiencer and all that is experience. Whatever I looked upon as this or the not-self previously, that is nothing but me only. My, in me, but who am I? Akhanda Sukha Ambudhi, the vast, indescribable, indivisible ocean of bliss. Sukha Ambudhi means ocean. Bahuda Vishravichayaha. Vichayaha means waves. Billions and billions of waves are rising and falling. The moment we use the word rising, it also means falling. So, the whole worlds, creation of the not world but worlds. How many worlds? Billions and billions of worlds. So, in me, they are all like small waves, big waves. A mosquito is a small wave. It thinks I am small. And a huge tsunami is a bigger wave, or maybe the biggest wave. And all the cosmos, everything that is, it is nothing but only rising in me, who am compared to the that indescribable ocean of bliss. Bahudha, so many varieties, billions of varieties, small, big, of different colors, different capacities, right from the inorganic to the highest to realized Brahma. These are all the waves that are arising in me. Vishvavichayaha. And here is a beautiful employment of this world. The whole universe is compared to a small wave. There is a beautiful story. Once our Brahma wanted to have a personal interview with Narayana. So he went there, and Narayana also updated all his office products. There was a receptionist, and it is equipped with all the latest modern computer equipment. And then Brahma went very arrogantly, stood in front of this one receptionist and said, I would like to see Narayana immediately. The receptionist looked at him and gave one small slip and said, this is your number. Please go and sit down, and when your number is called, then God will see you. Brahma became furious. What is this number? And the receptionist pressed a bell, and a side door opened. Brahma just had a look, and there were billions and billions of Brahmas all waiting to have an interview with Narayana. He became humble and made a namaskaram and departed peacefully. So, how many worlds are there? Innumerable worlds. How many waves are there in an ocean? Can you count? So many worlds are there. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka. Right from Brahma Loka until the smallest dust particle, that is also its own world. So, what are these doing? These waves doing? Utpadyante. They are born. Suddenly, a beautiful piece of water, serene, and suddenly a little bit of wind blows, and immediately a wave comes. Depending upon the strength of the air, wind, the wave also will be smaller or bigger. Then, once it is born, what happens? It stays there. That's why we call them kshanabhangura, just a momentary appearance. Then what happens? Viliyante, they merge back. They come from the ocean, They remain in the form of bubbles or foam or small or bigger waves and disappear again. And what causes the waves to appear? Maya Maruta Vibhrama is a constantly blowing wind, wind of the divine will. And it is called Maya. And that Maya is the cause of the Srishti, Sthiti and Laya, Vibhrama. Swamiji, at one time, had a wonderful experience of this Samadhi. And of course, nobody can describe what true Samadhi is, but to the extent that is possible, he has been expressing it. Here is the thing. Nahi Surya, there is no sun. Nahi Jyoti, there is no other light. Nahi Shashanka Sundara, and the beautiful moon doesn't exist at all. Bhase Vyome Chaya Sama, in this vast space, what is appearing? That this whole universe is appearing. Chobi Bishya Charachar, this Charachar, the living, the moving and non-moving, consisting of this universe. What it happens? Chobi, as though it is a small picture. And what is it doing? Chayasama, like a shadow, it is floating in this vast space. Asphuta Mana Akashe, in the mind, there is a vast space, and in that space of the mind, asphuta, not clearly visible, Jagata Samsara Bhashe, this whole universe, samsara, is floating in the form of what? Ideas. Uthe Bhashe, it arises and it shines for some time. Dube Punaha, Swamiji is expressing that beautiful sentiment, Asti, Bhati and Priya. Aham Shrote Nirantar, and there is a continuous flow of this consciousness in the form of I. And in this I, all these waves are, they are born, if they appear for some time, and again, they just get destroyed. Dhire dhire, slowly, slowly, as the mind is sinking into that indescribable Brahman, Chaya Dala, all these shadow-like, Mahalaye, in that great void, emptiness, Praveshiru, all these shadow-like universes, as if entered into that, like what the modern physics describes, a huge star, it attains its death, it goes on shrinking into itself and becoming smaller and smaller until it becomes a simple point of indescribability. Bohematro Ami Ami, only something I am able to discern very faintly, I. Ehi Dhara, this continuous flow is going on, Anukham. Shethavo, after some time, what happened? As the mind itself is entering into that indescribable existence, this separate existence called I, that is also disappearing into that Shethavo, that feeling of I, Vadhaholo, it completely disappeared. Shunne Shunno Milailo, that in the complete emptiness, emptiness entered into emptiness. Swamiji, of course, is talking about that beautiful hymn in Rig Veda that we get, Nasadiya Sukta, that darkness is covered by even greater darkness. So, how are you going to describe it? Avang Manasa Gocharam. It is understood only by those who have experienced it. It is impossible for the mind or for the speech to express it. Bujhe Pran, Bujhe Ja. He who had experienced it, only he can understand what I am talking about. And here is that beautiful song has been sung by so many of our Swamis. I hope I am able to make you also listen very appropriately. Please listen. It has been sung by Swami Chandrasekharananda Gopal, who had most marvelous voice. I hope you are able to hear it clearly. I hope you all enjoyed this beautiful thing, song by Swami Chandrasekharananda. This poem gives a beautiful, at least a somewhat clearer understanding of what Swami Vivekananda had experienced and was trying to express it for people like us. So the 495th shloka tells us, I alone reside as knowledge in all beings, being their internal and external support. I myself am the experiencer and all that is experienced. Whatever I looked upon as this previously, as the not self, that is all but nothing but me and me alone. A wonderful incident happened during the last days of Sri Ramakrishna. One day, Sri Ramakrishna was trying to tell to Narendra that he was God himself. Then he gave a hint, everything has come out of this. And then Sri Ramakrishna wanted to find whether Narendra heard it properly, because Sri Ramakrishna's voice was extremely feeble at that stage of his cancerous growth. So he asked, what did I say? And Narendra replies, I understand everything has come from you. Such profound statements prove what this true realization is. Not only that, if the case of an incarnation is indescribable, like the case of Brahma, we are nothing but Brahma. The disciple continues, 496th verse, Sthuladi bhavaha mai kalpitaha brahmat aropita anusphuranena lokai kale yatha kalpaka vatsaraya anadrutvadayo nishkala nirvikalpe. Ideas such as gross or subtle or causal or erroneously imagined in me by people through the manifestation of things superimposed, just as in the indivisible and absolute time, cycles, years, half years, seasons, etc. are imagined. A whole universe and our life in this universe is nothing but pure imagination. People, of course, do not understand that, and not only that, they ridicule. I am in this waking state, you are taking a class. Is this class also an imagination? Yes, sir, it is also an imagination. Because if you are hearing, if you are dreaming that you have attended a class and I am speaking and you find it very, very wonderful class in your dream, that also shows everything in the dream is only wonderful, everything in the waking world, there is some defect or the other. So, everything in this world, the body, the mind, the three states of waking, dream, as well as dreamless, all these states are pure, what Patanjali Rishi calls that chitta vritti, thoughts in the mind. So, people go on saying, I have a body, I have a mind, it's sthula. When a person is talking, I have a body, I am in the waking state, what is he talking about? About the physical world that we all experience. When he is talking about, I had wonderful dream, what is he talking about? He is talking a subtle world, purely created by his own mind, from the impressions gathered in the waking state, not only in this life, but from many, many lives. And when he goes into deep sleep, is there a world? Yes, that is called causal world. That state is called causal state. And upon waking up, he comes and says, I had wonderful rest. I was very happy. Of course, he doesn't know. Others are also very happy when he is not giving any trouble. So, all these are nothing but Brahmas. How do we know? Because when we become successful in becoming a witness, then we see, for a witness, even that witnessing is an act of the mind. This person thinks he is in the waking state, he thinks in the dream state, he thinks he is in the deep sleep state. So that ideas of the witness that he has been witnessing are also nothing but ideas in the mind of the witness. The only thing is, a person who is imagining, he thinks it is real. A person who is witnessing, he knows that truly speaking, it is nothing but imagination, because whatever we are witnessing is not us. Such ideas, as gross or subtle, are erroneously imagined in me by people through the manifestation of things superimposed. Just as in the indivisible and absolute time, cycles, years, half years, seasons, etc. are imagined. Brahmat, because of this maya, arupitaha, they are superimposed upon the what is called non-waking, non-dreaming, non-sleeping, one self. Anuspuranena lokaihi. Loka here means people. People here means people who are ignorant. But what do people who are knowledgeable, what is their experience? They feel this is nothing but pure thoughts, waves. One type of wave is called waking state. Another type of wave is called dream state. Another type of wave is called deep sleep. These are nothing but this what Patanjali calls chitta vritti. Kale, and then we divide people. Ignorant people, those who do not know what is the self, what do? This kala, time, is indivisible. But they divide it. Yatha, kalpaka, is thousands of years, cycles we call it. Vatsara, an year. So, anartha, means half an year. Then, ritus, one season. This is summer season, this is winter season, this is rainy season, etc. And imagine in what? Nishkala, that which is partless. Kala means part. Nirvikalpa means change. Again, beautiful words. Indivisible is divided, imagined as divided. Kala, which is indivisible, Kala means here, nothing but pure consciousness that is divided into the past, present as well as future. And also time means change. The timelessness means changeless. Supposing something is exactly the same way without the least bit of any change. Of course, it is impossible in our day-to-day experience, but if you can imagine some such a thing, it is nothing but God, because no change can ever take place in God. Nirvikalpa. Vikalpa means changeful. Nirvikalpa means changeless. God is always changeless. Why? Because if God changes, what happens to him? If we see that here is a new chair, after a day, what does it become? Old chair. Here is a baby. The moment a new person goes to see a baby, what is the first question he asks? How old is the baby? From the very point of conception, it is nothing but pure change. 1 day old, 2 days old, 1 year old. So remember, every birthday is nothing but one step nearer to the butcher's shop. These are the experiences. What are the disciples telling? All these are completely unreal. I am that indivisible, changeless self, and all the things that are imagined, including myself before realization, and after realization, other people. So, we say 138th birthday of Sri Ramakrishna. Perhaps our devotees remember, once a devotee went to Mahapurush Maharaj and asked Mahapurush Maharaj, when is your birthday? Immediately, what came? I was never born. What are you talking about? Oh, I am talking about this body. Oh, body? Yes, yes. It was born about 70 years ago. That means, where was their consciousness? Purely identified with the self, not the body. Of course, this is the case. Before realization, he was also somewhat identified with the body, mind. But after realization, absolutely there is nothing. That was what then Sri Ramakrishna appeared after his passing away to Holy Mother. And when she was grieving, he said, where did I go? Why are you grieving? From this room to that other room. Of course, even to say Sri Ramakrishna passed away is from whose point of view? From our point of view. He was born, he was there, and he passed away. Moving on, 497. Aropitam nashaya doshakam bhavet kadapi mudaihi ati dosha dushitaihi. Nardri karoti ushara bhumi bhagam marichika vari mahapravaha. Beautiful example. That which is superimposed by the grossly ignorant fools can never taint the substratum. The great rush of waters observed in a mirage never wets the desert tracks. Again, a most beautiful telling example. Suppose someone is walking in Rajasthan at noon, 12 o'clock, it was unbearably hot and he was very thirsty. Suddenly he sees that there is a huge, beautiful river lined with the greenest big trees, adorned with flowers and fruits and blossoms on both sides of that river. And he beholds it and he wonders, what is this? Somebody described this is a desert land. Where is the desert at all? I see so much of water. The whole of the world is not able to, capable of using even one small part of this water. This is what Shankaracharya, and remember, like Kalidasa, Kalidasa was very famous for his art of employing similes. Upama Kalidasasya. Sri Ramakrishna was Apara Kalidasa. Before that, Shankaracharya, but practically for every verse he uses the similes. Imagine a person in a hot area. Suddenly he sees this beautiful mirage and he doesn't see the mirage. When does he call that experience as mirage? After he comes to know the truth. Until that time he sees it's a beautiful lake surrounded by such marvelous, unimaginable greenery. And so long as he experiences it, it remains like that. Supposing he goes there and then he touches the sand, and does it appear to be become wet because of all that water that he was perceiving, imagining earlier? Nothing happens. This is the simile our Shankaracharya employs. For what purpose? So, aropitam nashreya doshakam bhavet kadapi mudhaihi ati dosha dushitai. Only very mudhas. Not only mudhas, mudha means very, very foolish people, ignorant people, even such people, that is not enough. Ati dosha dushitaihi. They are completely covered with the greatest amount of faults. That means the worst type of stupidity, idiocy that we can imagine. They think that that which is the substratum becomes impure by that which is superimposed upon it. Another example to make this point clear. All night you may perceive a beautiful snake, and when the morning comes in the light, you perceive it was never a snake, but it was nothing but a rope. Now, did the snake's smell, the snake's skin, you know, snakes have got terribly unbearable smell. If you go near, you will understand it, because they were all eating only these rats and mice, etc. Terrible smell comes practically from every animal it comes, whether it is a dog or anything. But by long association, the owner also becomes identified himself with the dog and starts enjoying. So, that which is superimposed by something else, it never becomes polluted, impure, or it never changes its own nature, because it is all in the imagination. Another example that we give, that you go to watch a movie, and that on that beautiful screen, suddenly a palace, it goes up in flames, and for a few minutes the fire quenchers come and then go on sprinkling huge jets of water, and after some time only smoke starts coming. Then put off the light, stop the movie, put on the hall lights. What happens to the screen? Absolutely nothing happens. Or imagine there is a terrible typhoon, and the trees were swaying, and there was lightning, sheets of water are drenching, and as soon as you stop the film, look at the screen, what happens? Absolutely nothing happens. What is Shankaracharya driving at? I am that ashraya, the substratum. I am the soul, and on this soul, all these imaginary pictures are going on, people are going on, superimposing, I am the body, I am the mind, I am the causal world, etc. But when they wake up, not waking up from sleep to waking state, but true waking up, uttishtata, jagrata, prapyavara, nibodhata, nothing happens to me. I remain absolutely the same. And here is something the commentators tell us, that even when a person wakes up from a terribly troubling dream, and even after that, as Ramakrishna says, that the heart starts beating fast. Suppose a person had seen a tiger and he wakes up. But upon this final waking up to the self, knowledge that I am the self, even the memory of it completely vanishes. That is why a few verses earlier we have already gone through it. Where was the world? Just now I have seen this world. Where did it disappear? Only a moment back I saw, completely gone. But even that description is faulty description, because such a memory doesn't exist at all in a realized soul. So again, he is, through so many verses he is telling, oh man, you are really a child of immortality. And in the words of Swamiji, each soul is potentially divine. Name dehena sambandho meghena iva vihayasaha atah kuto me tad dharmaha jagrat svapna susuptayaha. One peculiarity that we notice in this Vivek Chudamani is, again and again, he is reminding us, every creature in this world, every living creature, experience three states only. The whole life is nothing but moving from one state to the other state. What is that state? Jagrat, waking, Swapna, dreaming, and Sushupti, deep sleep. We are moving constantly from room A to room B to room C, again to room A, like a triangle. So, he is telling, I have no connection with the body, as the sky with clouds. So, how can the states of wakefulness, dream, and profound sleep, which are attributes of the body and mind, affect me? They cannot affect me, just as a screen is not affected by torrential rains. It will not be drenched, nor it will have least effect. Even this raging forest fires, even then nothing will happen. Name dehena, me to me, dehena, with this body. Previous to realization, I was thinking, I am none other than the body. There is a relationship with absolute identity. And when he advances a little bit, then another relationship will come. He doesn't say, I am the body, but he says, I have a body. Even that is a relationship. Is here he says, name dehena sambandha. Absolutely no relationship with body, and by proxy it means by the mind also. How he gives again another simile. Vihaya saha, there is this vast infinite sky, space. In that infinite number of these clouds, black cloud, blackest cloud, lightest cloud, grey cloud, pure white cloud like pure cotton, so many small cloud, big cloud, etc., etc., megena iva, like so many different clouds. And it has nothing to do, it doesn't contaminate. When there is a white cloud, we don't say it is white space. When there is a black cloud, we don't say it is a black space. And they constantly move, there is nothing to do with me. Ataha, therefore, kuto me tadharmaha, when I have no relationship with my body, mind, then where is the point of attributing all the characteristics, attributes, gunas that belong to the body to me, the one akhanda anatma, self? There is, they not only I am not identified with them, I am not also identified with the characteristics, qualities of those things also. For example, if you happen to think you are the body, I am a young person, I am a middle-aged person, I am a weak person, I am a happy person, and all these feelings are characteristics of that one body, young, old, beautiful, ugly, happy, unhappy. When I don't have identity, even the characteristics belonging to that body and mind, and they also have nothing to do with me, I am not big, I am not small. That is why beautiful telling language, anuraniyan mahato mahiyan. So, ataha kuto me tadharmaha, the characteristics of the body, mind, etc. And the whole universe is nothing but one's own body and mind. If they disappear in deep, like in deep sleep, the whole world disappears along with them. Though, many times we discussed this point, when we move from the waking state to the dream state, all the realities which were the only truth for us in the waking state completely disappear. We are in a totally different world called the dream world. But when we enter into the deep sleep, then even this dream world also totally disappears. What remains is me alone, of course the ignorant me alone, and no projection takes place. I have no connection with the body, and the sky has no connection with clouds. So how can the states of wakefulness, dream, or sushupti, profound sleep, which are but attributes of the body and mind, affect me? No, they do not affect me. Raver yatha karmani sakshi bhavo, vahner yatha vayasi dahakatvam, rajyoh yatha aropita vastu sangaha, tatha eva kudasta chidatmano me. The sun the mere witness of men's actions. As a fire burns everything without distinction, and as the rope is related to a thing superimposed on it, so am I, the unchangeable self, the intelligence absolute. Same idea of realization is trying his best to convey it to us, so that at least a little bit of it sinks into the deepest part of our mind, so that even for a moment we should be able to think, I am none other than that self, maybe for a fleeting millisecond, but even that is good experience. So for the sake of to deeply implant that idea, you are not the body, you are not the mind, you do not have waking dream or dreamless states, you are that which beyond these three, the pure self, for that purpose. So many words are being employed. So he gives again beautiful simile, revere yatha karmani sakshi bhavo. Without light, we cannot do anything. Whether it is sunlight, moonlight, firelight, candlelight, torchlight, whatever light it is, without light, we cannot do many things at all. Of course, some of our wise people will be there, and they will be thinking, what are you talking about, Swami? We have got all these things. So even if I put up the light, I can do breathing, and I can scratch my back, etc., etc. For that, Shankaracharya is giving, even to scratch, you are having the light of the touch. Your fingers touch a part, this is my hand, this is my ear, this is my eye. How do you know? Because if you don't know, instead of putting your finger in the ear, you might put it in your eye as well. But you never do it, because immediately the eye will give you a slap and say, you stupid fellow, stop doing it. So that is also light of the knowledge. So the darkness is not mere darkness. The ability to know things, that is called light. So just as the sun, it makes everybody work, but it never works. It is only sakshi, complete witness. Vanehi yatha vayasi dahakatvam. Vayasi means in air, only when there is air, space, it is able to burn. When it burns, what does it do? It doesn't make any discrimination. Whatever is burnable, it will burn. It doesn't say, I like this, so I burn it. I don't like this, I don't burn it. That is not going to happen. Of course, you know, I can make a little bit of fun. When your Jataragni doesn't like certain things, it doesn't burn them. That means it doesn't digest them. Then it says, kick them out, let them go out. I don't want to see them. No, I'm just making a fun. The fire has absolutely no discrimination. Rajor yatha aropita vastu sangaha. In semi-darkness, we mistake a rope for a snake. It doesn't mean any of the snake's characteristics are superimposed on the rope. Tatha eva. Exactly through all these examples, in the same way, I am me. Who am I? Kutastaha. The pure witness, immovable, indivisible, indescribable Atman, Chidatmana. I am full of the light of the consciousness. So just like that, nothing contaminates me. I remain all this time like that. Even if I go on witnessing it, just as a person witnesses on the screen so many things, and all those things have no relationship with the screen, the screen remains pure white screen. So I am like that. Through so many examples, the man of realization is trying to convey to us, if you also do spiritual practice, you will also attain by the grace of God to my state, and these are the things you are going to experience. This is just to give you a foretaste of what is to come, like Narayana gives a foretaste to Narada. If you go on thinking about me, this is how you will have my darshana, and then he disappears. Foretaste. That's what Sri Ramakrishna used to pray to Mother. Oh Mother, so many of your children are coming to me. unless you give them a little bit of taste, how are they going to get enthusiastic about spiritual life? So please give them something now and then, a glimpse of yourself, a darshan of yourself, some higher experience, so that they will get very enthusiastic, happy, and can continue. Of course, by the grace of God, we will all progress, and at least we can see that we are happier people than before, because many negative things do not affect us now as they used to affect in the past. So we will stop here, continue our class day after tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayusritva Pranamami Murmuhu.